Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, on Pew Bible page 696. Let us listen to God's word. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Multitude, or mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place on you your own soil, place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, on Pew Bible page 882. Children of God, let us hear his word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you have supposed, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and everlasting God, your Spirit moves in, around, and through us. And we ask that today, on this Pentecost day, that we would be able to listen to how your Spirit is leading us, to listen to how it is guiding us, so that we might be your servants in this world. Bless the meditations of our minds and hearts this morning as we listen to your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. It is Pentecost Sunday. As I got ready for today, several times out the window of the office, I noticed just the blowing of the plastic sheeting, just the billowing as the wind would blow that through that little alleyway out that window. You would see maybe the slightest breeze give a little movement. Or sometimes I was wondering how the plastic was still staying put. It would be a clear sign that the wind was blowing. There are so many ways you can see the wind blowing in our world. You can hear the audible tinkle, tinkle of a wind chime. You can hear the slam of a door or a gate as the wind takes it and shoves it closed, or sometimes shoves it all the way open. We see the wind move the branches more in the spring, summer, and fall, and very little in the winter, but the occasional conifer moving, the pine trees moving. We see all of this. I forgot about the plastic sheeting so quickly. I was going to use the flag as an example of how it's blowing. You can see the wind take it. Maybe you have a windsock or one of those little pinwheel windmills. In winter, not only do you see the conifers blowing, but you see the snow moving, the little bits of flakes that were sitting so neatly and nicely. You see the movement, the waves of the drifts. You can see the wind blowing. You even see it as kids do that hilarious, "Dad, look, I can see my breath." You see the wind and you know it's there. And that's one of the interesting things that happens with the Holy Spirit, because there's an unpredictability about it. Sure, if we were meteorologists, we could know that the wind is going to come from the southeast and it's going to blow at about 7 miles an hour today. But most of us don't have that kind of equipment. Most of us are just stuck listening to the fact that the wind might be from the north or the northeast or the northwest. It's coming from some direction. There's an ability we have in our world where we can harness the wind. If you go out into the Midwest, in certain areas in New York, you see the huge windmills, the electric windmills. But you also, if you go to certain other areas of the Midwest, like Holland, Michigan, or Fulton, Illinois, you see actual functional windmills. that actually can grind wheat. You see all of these pieces that are being harnessed. Even that pinwheel or that windsock or a kite can be used to harness the wind. But you cannot capture the wind, no matter how fine the netting that you use. And even if you could, how would you hold on to the wind? There's so much about the wind that makes us understand the image that God gave us at Pentecost. Our scripture from today is fairly familiar with this disciples all gathered in one place. They're all gathered because both Christ said to don't go anywhere, but also there is a special festival reason. The festival of Pentecost, also known as Shavuot, or the Festival of Weeks, was one of the pilgrimage festivals in which all of the people who could travel to Jerusalem were supposed to. That's part of the reason why when we look at all of those language listed, there were so many varieties of people in Jerusalem at that time. We also understand perhaps the fear and worry of the upper room as they wait for Christ. It's been 7 weeks, roughly, since the Last Supper. 7 weeks since the events of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter. And this is the first major festival since then. There's a lot going on for the disciples as the wind prepares to blow. Think about that. They're all packed in, anxious, excited, all of their emotions kind of sitting like an emotional parfait, so to speak. Everything is present for them. They're feeling perhaps less than safe. After all, you get together in that first moment after Christ was killed, you're not exactly feeling like you might not be next. And then all of a sudden comes that violent wind, that mighty wind described in Scripture. Coming from the Midwest, we know tornadoes. But not that long ago, I got to hear a tornado out my back door. And it sounds like a freight train. It sounds so loud, it's scary. And as soon as you hear it, you know you heard it. It's one of those pieces that really comes to light in this. Because we see that the people outside this room where the disciples are gathered heard this wind. It was loud enough to draw people there. I used to think I knew about wind, but wind kind of has this special relationship with the parsonage. When we first moved in, I noticed that it would rattle the shutters anytime. And the loudness of the rattle and the speed of the rattle would dictate how hard it was blowing outside. You would hear as those hooks, those little eyelets, would get moved and shifted. And it was kind of fun to not tell house guests about it. But there was this moment where you could hear the wind coming. You can imagine what happens as the wind starts. The sound of the wind starts. The confusion that must have been rife throughout the room. And yet, in that moment, suddenly, everyone is speaking a different language as the Spirit has given them the ability. And then all of a sudden, those people who had heard that wind, who had heard that freight train noise, come around there, and the disciples and all that were gathered there are suddenly speaking in all these different languages. And they aren't able to speak it because they were like my grandfather and grew up in a small immigrant mining town where if you want to communicate with your best friend next door, you better learn Polish. Or you better learn what the German guy next door across the street is speaking. It wasn't like that. They were Galileans. They weren't going to speak anything but Jewish or Aramaic. Two languages, that was it. Maybe they would speak Greek just or Latin because they had to deal with the Romans and the Greeks, but that was it. You think about all of these languages suddenly that these men from Galilee can speak. There's a dramatic shift in that ability to speak. Everyone's kind of grasping at straws as to how this could happen. How these uneducated men from Galilee can suddenly speak dozens of languages. Personally, I wouldn't have gone to their drunk category as quickly as they did. Maybe some other explanation. But again, people are trying to figure out how this is happening. And then Peter speaks. He doesn't speak in a way to glorify he and the disciples. He speaks in a way that glorifies and points to what God has done and is continuing to do in this moment. Pentecost causes us on a yearly basis, and hopefully more than just yearly, to reassess our view of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can take 1 or 2 minutes to re-engage with the Spirit, but for the most part, it is a day we take up and set down pretty quickly. Sort of like Advent and Lent cause us to clean up the path between us and God, Pentecost causes us to do so with the Spirit until it's past. Now, we might seek to engage with the Spirit a little more. We might try and understand what the Spirit is saying to us a little more. We might see that we have leaned one way or the other on the whole pyramid or stool, so to speak, of the Trinity, leaning towards one part of the Trinity, the Father and the Son, a little more than we should, and then we try and overcorrect and raise up our understanding of the Spirit, or maybe we try and balance that out. Maybe we're like athletes who look at the film, so to speak, of our faith and try and reassess and improve the way in which we engage with it. But truly, we need to first talk about the Spirit. And when I say talk about the Spirit, I can hear people shift a little as we get a little uncomfortable. Because that's the thing. The Spirit makes us uncomfortable. We can understand the Father. We can understand the Son. We have more tangible interactions with Jesus' ministry and teaching. We see the whole story of God as Father throughout the history of Scripture. We see all of that, but there's a discomfort, a dis-ease that comes with the Spirit. For Pete's sake, we even get confused about the whole reality of the Spirit. We say, today was the day the Spirit was created. Not really at all, but it is the day when the Spirit is given to us. See, the Spirit causes us so often to tiptoe and dance around it. And there are a few possible reasons for this. I mean, when we look at the length of what the Spirit has done throughout Scripture, there is a reason to be uncomfortable. Think about Moses. Where does Moses really encounter the Spirit? In a burning bush. That's a real comfortable moment, right? Or what about the moment when Jonah interacts with the Spirit? Jonah, go to Nineveh. Gotcha. Not going there, not going there, not going there. And then he gets swallowed by a whale, and he gets spit out on the beach, and then finally he goes at the guidance of the Spirit. And then what happens? He doesn't like what the Spirit led him to do, so he sits and has a tantrum. The fact is, there is a discomfort when things happen with the Spirit. Think of even the New Testament in a few chapters when we read about that guy called Saul. Saul is blinded, and then God's Spirit comes to a man named Ananias. And what does the Spirit ask Ananias to do? Go and heal Saul. And you think Ananias was happy about that? Happy to go heal this persecutor of the church who had killed his friends, his brothers, his sisters? And yet he still goes because the Spirit pushes. Jesus is the one we called friend. The Father is one we show reverence to, but the Spirit is the one who pushes us and more directly prepares us to wear the hat of whatever our calling is and wherever God has called us to be and to do. On Thursday, there was a lot of wind, wasn't there? I had to fight to get the gate closed a time or two. But there are also times when the wind doesn't shove a gate open or closed, when the wind just blows, gentle as can be. And the Spirit comes in both forms. It is both pushing and driving, like Thursday's wind. But it is also gentle, like if you see right now out the windows, that gentle little ripple of the wind. And that's what the Spirit does. Now, we struggle with it because in many ways, it doesn't blow us in the ways we want to go. Now, one of the most beautiful things that our denomination does with this is we use one particular word that really gets to what the Spirit does. At the next level up from the churches is the classis. And I know all of you speak Latin. No? None of you speak? Okay, fair enough. But the word in which we used for it, that is classis, also means a fleet of ships. So think of all of the churches in the classis as a fleet of ships sailing together. Think about all of us sailing together, being blown by the Spirit together. Isn't that just a wondrous image that gets down to the fact that the Spirit is moving us? Again, think of all those olden days when the only real manner in which you could really go somewhere, because you would get too tired rowing, was through using the wind to blow you. Brothers and sisters, wherever the Spirit is blowing us, may we listen. May we listen to its gentle breeze or its more violent freight train-like push. But may we listen to how and in the ways the Spirit is blowing us. May we trust in the ways that it is going to equip us for whatever task or whatever thing that is coming. May we trust in it. May we come to be a friend with the Spirit and embrace it in all ways. In his name, let us be grateful. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, let us respond through our gifts. Thank you.
Gracious God, be with us. Guide us and keep us and help us, O Lord, to be and to serve your people. Gracious God, hear these, our calls to you, our calls for us to be guided to use the gifts that you have given to us. But also, Lord, that whatever gifts you give in the future, you would also guide us to use those for your kingdom. Gracious God, hear these, our prayers and our songs of thanksgiving for the great gift of your Spirit. Lead us and guide us, O Lord, to use your gifts as much as we may and as much as you have called us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, let me invite you to share any joys or concerns with your brothers and sisters. All right, then let us pray. Wondrous and loving God, we come before you on this day and we sing of the greatness of your Spirit. We sing of the wonder of how your Spirit is with us, leads us and calls us.